Well, my daughter's not here this week. She's with her dad. But when she was little, and I'm not that long ago, she was fascinated with the dollar store. I mean, you walk in and there's things, there's all of these things, and they're all only a dollar. So you really don't spend very much when you go in the dollar store, right? She wanted very badly to take her birthday money and go to the dollar store. And I thought, you know, I could poo-poo that. I have mom power. But I thought this might be a good lesson for her. So she took her birthday money and we went. And I said, so what is it you need? And she said, Mom, I don't know until I see it. Have you ever shopped that way? I do, honestly. And again, last week I told you about my, I hesitate to say addiction, my propensity toward thrift stores. It's what I do to de-stress, and it works for me. My biggest problem, I think, in spending money is going to the grocery store without a list. Do you know that grocery stores are set up with booby traps? Seriously? This is true. It's a real thing. First, you go in for your staples, right? You need your milk and your eggs. Where do they put those things? In the back of the store. So you have to walk through all of the tempting things to get your staples, and then walk through all the tempting things to get back to the checkout. And did you know that when you first walk in, it's subliminal, check it out next time you're in the grocery store, they pump in the air from the bakery into that entrance. So it smells really nice when you walk in. And have you noticed how large the grocery carts are? I swear, it's like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, where you're trying to get to your goal and you have to, you know, avoid all these terrible traps. The other thing is, they put the produce at the front. You notice that? The produce is at the front, so you feel really good about yourself for buying the healthy things. And then you have to go through all of the unhealthy things and the temptations to get to the checkout. Bulk items. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you need one jar of pickles, but yet, if you spend $10, you could get 5 jars of pickles. Do you really need 5 jars of pickles? But it's a deal. And then occasionally they change layouts. Have you noticed this? Do you know why they do this? I always thought it was just a nice thing, you know, to help you so that you can be more pleasantly appeased as you walk in. No. No, because they found, research shows, that if you know where everything is, and then you get into a pattern with the things that you normally buy, you will just go get those things. But this way you have to kind of hunt for them, and you see other things. This happened to me this past week. Confession time. I went in for one avocado for a recipe. One avocado, and I came home with $47 worth of stuff. I guarantee you that avocado was not $47. They're close, though. They're very expensive. But I came home with more than what I planned. Would you agree with me that we live in a time where it's too easy to spend money? Last year, I attended Financial Peace University when it was offered. I'm really glad I did. It made a huge difference in my life. But the thing is, you have to actually apply the principles all the time. I do most of the time. But one of the things that they suggest that helped me right off the bat was to use cash. They actually give you these little envelopes. One says grocery, you put your cash in it, and when the cash is gone, you're done. See, the debit card desensitizes us. You know, we're swiping that thing. We don't actually see the money. We don't actually, you know, watch the dollars fly out the window. So it's not really like spending money. I suspect that if I had the cash on hand with the avocado, I would have thought twice. From Jesus' description in Luke 15:11-16, we see that the prodigal son had the habits of squandering and spending. Now, something that you can impress your friends with that they probably don't know is that prodigal actually does not mean someone who's lost and wandering. Prodigal literally means one who wastes money. A prodigal is one who wastes money. He or she is a spendthrift. Now, many of us struggle with this habit as well, especially in today's society. Temptations all around us. We're not worried about tomorrow. We want it today. We live in a culture of instant gratification. The problem with that kind of thinking is that for most of us, the famine does eventually come. And when it comes, and we don't have what we needed, we get what's called buyer's remorse. So we use the credit card when we get to that point to change what's happening because we can charge it. We can spend tomorrow's money today and have what we need, right? And we go into debt a little bit further because we'll pay it off later. It'll be fine. So we get to this place where we find ourselves. We have nothing left, not even credit. And we can't figure out how we're going to make it. Our relationship with money and possessions is complicated. We don't exist simply to consume as much as we possibly can and get as much pleasure as we can while we're here on this earth. That's not why we exist. We are sacred, beloved children of the Most High God. That's who we are. Look at someone near you and say, "You are a child of the Most High God." Now say, "I am a child of the Most High God." All right. We have a higher purpose. We have a higher calling. We need to know and understand our life purpose, our vision, our mission, and our calling. And then we need to spend our money in the ways that are consistent with the purpose of our calling. See, society tells us that our life's purpose is to consume, to be that vortex, to make as much money as possible, and of course stress ourselves out over it, and then blow as much money as possible on things we don't need and stress over it. But the Bible tells us that we were created to care for God's creation. That's our purpose. We were created to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We were created to care for our families and to care for those in need. We were created to glorify God, to seek justice, and to do mercy. Our money and our possessions should be devoted to helping us fulfill this calling. This is our true calling as children of God. We are to use our resources to help and care for our families and others, to serve Christ and the world through the church, through missions, and through everyday opportunities. We have a life purpose that is greater than our own self-interests. And how we spend our God-given resources reflects our understanding and commitment to our life's purpose and our mission. The way we spend our money is a reflection of who we believe we are. So we need to set worthy goals. Being able to accomplish the greater purpose that God has for our lives requires a measure of planning. We need to think ahead. We need to set some short-term goals, some medium goals, and some long-term goals. We need to figure out what it is we want. What do you want for yourself? And you need a plan to get there. Some may think that the Bible and its frugalism is something that depletes us, and it limits our freedom. In fact, we think that it's going to create this, when in essence, actually, it creates less of that and more of this. We need a budget. Now, once we have some financial goals, we need to develop a plan to meet those goals. And a budget is a spending plan that enables us to reach our goals. When we budget, we should apply 6 key financial principles to help us manage our money with wisdom and faith. So we have for you in your bulletin this static cling that you'll find. And this will give you the 6 key financial principles to discovering joy through simplicity and generosity. Now, an idea would be to take this vinyl cling and put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day to remind you. Maybe put it on your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator. First, put God first in your living and your giving. Think about how you spend money and say to yourself, does this honor God? What I have first came from God, is a gift to me. Give your tithe, 10%, you know, 1 out of every 10 is kind of the measurement, but give your generous offering from the top of your paycheck, and then live on whatever remains. Now, there was a time in my life not so long ago when my daughter was born, and you know, a new baby means a little bit of expense. They're expensive little creatures. They require a lot of money. But in my wisdom at the time, I decided, oh, she's so beautiful. I want to stay home and spend time with her. So I left a full-time job with benefits for a part-time job, and my ex-husband and I at the time, we bought a big house because we wanted her to have this big house to play in and grow up in and have a big Christmas tree in. And we also needed good transportation, so we bought a minivan. And it had to be a new minivan because we wanted reliable transportation. As you can imagine, all of that expense at once wasn't really well planned. We didn't think about it. And we had made a pledge to the church, but every month it seemed like we were farther and farther behind. So we had to write a little note in the offering plate saying, we're just short this week. We're just short this week. We started actually asking for a paycheck maybe a week ahead of time because we didn't have enough to pay the bills. When I started giving from the top of my paycheck, and what's really helped me is the way we can set up things here at church through Vanco, where it's electronically sent. When my paycheck comes, the amount is electronically sent. I never see it, but I know it's going to God. And the thing is, since I've been doing that, I lack for nothing. It's interesting how my life has adjusted. So, secondly, we create a budget and we track our expenses. We need to know where the money's going, right? It is way too easy to pick up a coffee here and a lunch there, and pretty soon you've spent $50 in your week, and where did it go? Five here, 10 here. Creating a budget is developing a plan in which you tell your money what to do instead of the other way around. Tracking your expenses with a budget is like getting on the scales. It allows you to see how you're doing, and it motivates you to be more careful with your expenditures. The third thing is to simplify your lifestyle. How many of us don't want to live more simply? I hunger and thirst for simplicity. We have to live below our means. Live below our means. Because this discipline is critical to the success of any financial plan. And next Sunday's sermon is going to be devoted to this topic. We need to establish an emergency fund, because when the storms come, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. When something bad happens, we need to know that we're covered. So an emergency fund is an account separate from checking or long-term savings, and it's set aside specifically for emergencies. Financial guru Dave Ramsey recommends beginning with $1,000 and building that to 3 months' worth of income. When you have this amount, you won't need your credit cards anymore. Now, one of the things I learned in class last spring was if, I love this, if your child were dying and the medicine to save your child was $1,000, could you get that $1,000 this week to save your child? And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, let's test that. So I went through some of my things. I found there's stuff in my closet I haven't worn for 5 years. There's furniture and storage that, you know what, it's wonderful, it means something to me, but for the past 5 years, I haven't had a place for it, so chances are I probably won't have a place for it in the future. There were things that I sold that I made $800, and then I did a little side work for the extra $200. I made that $1,000 in 1 week. Yeah, if your kid's life were dependent on it, you could make that $1,000. It all depends on our attitude regarding how determined we are sometimes. The fifth thing is to pay off our credit cards. To pay off our credit cards, to use cash. I know that's a weird concept, but to use cash for purchases. I know it's weird to me too. But it helps, or debit, and use it wisely. As you're building your emergency fund, begin to pay off your credit card debt. Ramsey suggests starting with a credit card that has the highest interest rate, and others suggest paying the smallest debt first and getting rid of it. Experiencing that victory in your life, that's the kind of stuff where Jesus says, I want you to have life abundantly, to feel good about what you're doing in a positive direction. And once you pay those credit cards, you can apply what you were paying on those to the rest and the rest. It's kind of creating a snowball effect. This works. cut up your credit cards. I know that's tough too. Some people take their, they're not quite ready to cut them up yet, but they take them and they freeze them. They put them in some water and they freeze them in the freezer so they can't just, you know, grab it. They have to really think about this. So, you know, getting rid of that credit card means that you're not trapped or leveraged by your future for present day pleasure, as the prodigal son was. If you must use a credit card, like when you're traveling or making purchases online, pay that off monthly. Get rid of it, because when you're falling asleep at night, it's those things that swirl in your head. And Jesus wants us to lie down in peace and sleep. So, if you're unable to do this, try stop using them altogether. I know. In our culture, that is tough. The sixth thing, and the final thing, is to practice long-term savings and investing habits. This will make you feel good about yourself fast. Saving money is the number one wise money management principle that everyone should practice. It's the number one principle. We don't save merely for the sake of saving. Saving for the sake of saving is hoarding, essentially. We want to live to be purposeful. Now, there are three types of savings that we should have. We should have an emergency savings, right, for those emergencies. We should have savings for wants and goals. And we should have retirement savings. Those three things. Jesus spoke more about money than almost any other subject, because he wanted us to have life and have it abundantly, so that we could live life abundantly and share our abundance with others. He realized, and this is why he talked about money so much, he realized that we live in a very materialistic world. It's all around us. And it has, like the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, it has many snares. Now, if you want to know more about financial peace and how to achieve it, sign up for this spring's Financial Peace University. I guarantee you, I went through it last year, it'll be worth your while. Amen.